Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. I want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Like us on Facebook at Woodhull Raceway and then Woodhull Raceway 64 on TikTok. A couple big things. The Mall Show, that is March 14th and 15th. For you drivers, I plan on attending that. The move-in day will be Friday the 13th, kind of just the way it's always been for the past however many years. So once again at the Arnott Mall in Big Flats, New York. So should be a great time. I know that season passes, pit, general admission, all that stuff will be on sale, as well as I know there's going to be a few different kind of raffles and giveaways and just different things that we're going to try to do to make the show a little bit bigger. So more to come on that, more with an exact time on the move-in and all that stuff to come a little bit. Not exactly sure on the registration part. That's to come a little bit later too. Right now our general manager is out on vacation. So we hope that Terry Pierce has a great time over there at St. Louis, and he went to the Dome with Greg Turner. So as long as they all come back in one piece, that's all that we could really hope for. Because with that crew, you never know. So we wish him the best of luck. We hope they have a lot of fun, and we'll get some more information when he gets back. But we did want to get out the dates of the Mall Show just so that all the drivers could know and kind of prepare for what they have to do. I know that it's a kind of a tough to get things around if you don't know the date, and a big commitment to, just to show up by getting the cars ready and wrapping the cars and doing all that stuff. And we appreciate it. And then another thing, I don't think I've done a podcast since, but I do want to just I want to give our thoughts and prayers out to the Peoples family. Loss of Ken Peoples Senior this year. Tough. I been to the racetrack for almost 50 years, or over 50 years. He's been a part of the racetrack, so going to be tough to replace. And like I said, Kenny was supposed to be on my podcast a while ago, and it just, not the time. So thoughts and prayers go out to them too. Tough off season here with the loss of Ken Peoples Senior and Carl Guild and Jordan Bacon. So our thoughts and prayers still go out to those families. And also Mrs. Harrington, I cannot remember her name. Just off the top of my head here, I should have made a list of everything that I had to get to, and I did not. So Ellie Harrington, our thoughts and prayers are out to her. I believe she is recovering after having a stroke, so our thoughts and prayers still out to her and Brad and Kim and the whole Harrington family. So big supporters of the Woodhull Raceway as well. So we're thinking about them as well. Kind of a somber note there as we start the podcast here, but we're going to go ahead and get on into the interview. The driver interviews, they are, or I guess interviews in general, we do more than drivers. Got a couple of different things going here. But they're brought to you by D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Trusburg, at Woodhull, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer a dump trailer service rental for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they will come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhull area. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get this interview underway. We got the, I believe it's a second full year in the Crate Sportsman, finished fifth in points. Jacob Trowbridge, relatively new guy here to the racing scene. So we're going to go ahead and get him in here in just a moment. So Jacob, how are we doing today?
Wonderful. How are you, sir?
Oh, not too bad, I guess. As an avid snowmobiler, I'm kind of happy there's snow on the ground. And as a hunter, it might make it a little easier for you to track deer. So.
It's wonderful. We appreciate any time we can hunt with snow on the ground.
Yeah. Do you a big hunter then?
I don't know if I would say I'm a big hunter, but I try to get out as much as I can. Didn't get out much during archery this year, but been out during rifle quite a bit so far.
You sound a lot like me. I do it 'cause that's what my family's done so long in my life that I just do it, but if I miss a day, it doesn't kill me any.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't mind doing it more than what I do it, but
Sure.
work gets in the way and other things, so.
Sure. So I guess I just want to start off by asking, where did you and your dad kind of come from? Because it just kind of seemed out of the blue. I think it was what, 3, 4 years ago, your dad shows up, and then a couple of years ago, you show up, and just kind of out of the blue, at least to my knowledge, anyway.
Yeah, he's been racing 3 years now. I've only been racing two, but I guess we just, I mean, really haven't been doing the racing thing as an overall for that long. Probably, I would say 6, 7 years maybe. We've been going to the races, watching the race, stuff like that. And dad just thought it would be something to get into, be fun. So of course he bought a car, and then the next year I bought the car that he raced his first year off of him, and it's gone downhill and uphill since then, I guess.
Right. I guess what kind of made you follow in there? Do you just kind of talk to him and he said how much fun he was having, you wanted to try it out, or?
Sorry, you're cutting out a little bit.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Can we
All right, so I think we got pretty much the technical di well, I hope we got the technical difficulties worked out. But Jacob, I asked you where you guys kind of came from, and you said your dad bought a car and then you bought his car off of him. Is that kind of where you left off there?
Yeah, kinda. I ended up, I actually bought a car in Vermont, drove all the way to Vermont to get it. And then when I got back, I tore the car completely to pieces and decided that a lot of it wasn't up to our racing standards, I guess. Some of it was cracked and broken. And so I ended up buying the chassis and stuff off of my dad that he had raced his first year and bought a to new stuff, and then we went from there. And then last year, we both decided that our equipment wasn't exactly what we were looking for, so we completely overhauled again. So we're trying to get out of the completely overhauling all of our racing equipment every year.
Right. Well, what kind of made you guys go towards sportsman? Did you just kind of do that because your dad did that, or was there any?
So I would say, probably honestly, is we would both love to run modifieds, but the budget just isn't there
Sure.
to run one modified, let alone two.
Right.
So it's basically as close as we could get to what we wanted.
Right. Do you guys kind of work out of the same shop and do the same deal and just kind of help each other out, or how's that work?
Yeah, we help each other out quite a bit. He works out the garage that's attached to the house, and I work out of their business's shop, which is literally right over the bank from the house. So we're back and forth on each other's cars and everything all the time.
Now, how does that work? Do you guys come in with like the same setups, or do you guys kind of do your own thing that wise and see who hits a little bit better?
So really, I mean, a majority of our setup is pretty identical for the most part. Maybe on a night at the track, if I'm feeling something a little different than he is, maybe we adjust a little bit, but it's tough. That's probably been our hardest thing to figure out since we got into racing, is our driving styles are a lot different than each other. So our car setups in theory should probably be a lot different than each other, and it's tough figuring out one car, let alone two cars at the same time, especially when we can't watch each other race to see how we think the car is handling for the other or anything like that to try to give our 2 cents. So it's been a struggle, but
Right. Have you ever thought about maybe bouncing some things off your in-laws?
yeah, maybe they like to keep things close to the vest a little bit, which is understandable. They help some, but as in anything, they got to keep their competitive advantage to themselves.
Right. I guess how excited were you when your dad won that heat race? Because I think
Oh.
you pulled up next to him, if I remember correctly, and it was a pretty cool moment.
Unbelievably excited. That's winning heat races might not be much for some race teams, but for ours at this point in time, it's huge. And it was his first one, so
Well,
it
there's been
was awesome.
guys that have been doing it for a heck of a long time that have never won a heat race, and 3 years in really isn't that, that's not that long of a time.
Right. The only bad part about it is he passed me to do it, so
Did you finish second? I can't remember.
I ended up finishing third behind
Okay.
Titus.
Okay. I was gonna say that would have been one heck of a heat race then.
Yeah, we started, I think it was 1-2 on, I think we had like 5 laps to go or something like that. He got me right off the green, drove right around me like I wasn't even there.
Does he brag a little bit to you about it, or?
Not much, maybe a little bit here and there.
Was
He
gonna
likes
say.
to point out that he's beat me in points 2 years in a row more than anything.
Yeah, he's kind of a quiet mannered guy, at least to me a little bit. So
He
I
is.
don't it's probably a little different being his son, but do you guys ever butt heads working in the shop if you have an idea and he's got an idea? And
Oh yeah, for
yeah.
sure. We get along pretty great for the most part, but as like anything else, we of course butt heads a little bit once in a while.
Well,
It's good for us, though.
I know how that goes. I work with my dad on my cars too, and you're never gonna get away from it.
No.
No. Did you guys ever think about doing any kind of late model stuff, or was it always open wheel modifieds and that's just what you wanted?
The open wheels, like I said, specifically modifieds is what piqued our interest the most. That if I ever got offered a ride or
Sure.
ever thought it could happen, I would never turn it down ever. I think they're just as cool as anything else. I love watching the pros do it and stuff like that with the late models and stuff, but I don't know it. One thing that's a little tougher with the late models is traveling. I mean, it's our biggest tracks, obviously, Woodhull, and you guys do run late models, but then every now and again we go to Outlaw and stuff. But if you got a late model, it's tougher to get around because some tracks just don't race them unless they're special events for some reason.
Right, and especially down where you are, I don't I'm trying to think what other tracks are you guys close
Really nothing. I mean,
to?
it you'd have to go pretty south into PA to get closer to other racetracks, and definitely the more south you go in PA, I don't know as though they run as much late model and stuff. They're more sprint cars and modifieds.
Right. What about one of them? Did you ever hop in one of them, or is it kind of the traveling deal too?
I would try it. I think you got to be a little bit crazy to try it, but
I don't have the
you
guts to
try it.
do it.
I don't know if I could drive it how them guys drive it, but I'd try.
Of course, I don't have the guts to drive a sportsman.
Oh, sure you do. You did
Yeah, well, you should have saw the out-of-car cam.
it.
I
You
did
get
it, and I'm
more
glad I
comfortable.
did it. It gave me one heck of an appreciation because I could have swore I was flying. I could have. And then you look over, and then you hear everybody on the radio, and they're all picking on me and saying how slow I'm going. I thought I was flying.
Yeah, I can tell you from going from being a fan and just watching to, getting frustrated watching the people that you like, maybe they're having a rough night or something like that, and you get frustrated with it when you're watching them. When you finally drive the car, it gives you a whole different appreciation for what's really going on and what it takes to actually drive a car and how one night the car can be good, and the next night it might be absolutely junk, and you're just chasing it all night long.
Right. Absolutely. And I just had that little hot lap session, but just the how fast it seems when you're going is incredible to me. And I'm out there all by myself,
Right.
so I couldn't imagine when you're what this close to other cars and you're going around the
Sometimes
corner.
too
I don't even
close.
know if I actually got it sideways, to be honest with you.
I think you did a little bit. I watched the in-car cam.
I think I did towards the end. I started to get the hang of it a little bit better, but
Towards the end, you were pushing it a little harder, for sure.
Yeah, I used to be that fan too. I'd sit in the grandstands. I'd say, "Oh, come on, you can't go faster than that," or you're kind of making an ass of yourself. You ought to just get off the track. And then I'm sitting in that car thinking, "Boy, I'm going 100 miles an hour." Well, no,
Yeah,
so.
Can't lie and say I've never thought when you got the same person spin out a million times. You're like, come on, really? You can't drive the car. And I've been that person that spins it out multiple times in one feature, spins out twice or three times in a heat. And sometimes it gets the best of you. And
My thing is it just feels so unnatural. I mean, I'd go into the corner. I thought I was going to tip the thing over, and it never, So I'd go to autocorrect, or I'd go to overcorrect, and then the whole thing would get out of whack, and the car hated me, but.
Yeah, that's one thing. I think we had a little bit of a smoother transition than some do, some newer cars or newer drivers do, because we both started out on torsion bars and right side panners. So it gives you a little bit of a taste for how the car is, but nothing like you jumping right into something with coils and left side panners. A lot more aggressive. It's a lot bigger of a swing.
Right. Did you guys do any racing at all? Or did you
No,
just hop
never.
into Sportsman?
Just hopped in the Sportsman.
Wow,
Neither of
that's
us had ever raced anything.
yeah, that's actually that's really your dad never did either? Nobody in your
Nope,
huh.
never.
Wow,
No,
that's
none of my family had ever raced anything at all. It was the first year that he got into it. It was a complete swing for the fences, and we're gonna see how this goes. I mean, we had some help, and we had some pretty good help our first year. I mean, Billy Van Pelt set the car up and everything for him, and so we couldn't ask for any better help our first year, but it was still a big learning steps.
Right. What'd your mom think? Did she think you guys were absolutely crazy or?
I'll say from a financial side, she told me there's better things I could spend my money on, and I should be saving up to buy a house and stuff like that rather than blowing money on a race car. But other than that, I mean, really, our entire family, from not being into racing to as into it as we are every weekend, every week, all summer long, everybody loves it, really. And the people that we've met and stuff like that that have become like family, you couldn't pass any of that up to even remotely rethink getting into
Right, absolutely. It's I always say it's funny because
it.
my entire life really is I spend every Saturday in the summer with these people and then I never see them again until March. But it just seems to be the way that it goes. But and then I sit home all winter and don't talk to anybody but my family.
During the summer, I see the people at the racetrack more than some of my own family, for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Does your whole family go to the races and watch you guys or?
My stepmom and my youngest sister Shay are usually in the pits with us, and then my mom and her boyfriend are in the pits with us probably, I would say, 75% of the weekends. And then we got a guy, Scott Tarbox, that has been one of my dad's best friends for a long time, and he's there every weekend. I don't think he could possibly scare him away.
Yeah, Scott yelled at me 1 week. I can't remember what he was mad at me about, but I messed something up. But maybe it was I wonder if it was the night you guys switched cars.
You must have messed something up big if he was yelling. You don't do it often.
Well, I don't he wasn't really yelling. Did you guys switch cars one night?
I don't think we ever switched
No,
cars.
I can't remember. There was something that he messaged me that I messed up, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was, but Or maybe it was the points. Maybe it was the points on the podcast is what he was,
Oh, that's possible.
Yeah,
He
you know what I
watches
mean.
the videos and stuff usually before I do. He's always messaging me. Did you see who's on there? Did you hear what they're talking about?
Well, I always I don't do as much research as I really should. I go into a lot of this stuff kind of behind the eight ball and I just kind of shoot from the hip and see
That's
whatever
all right.
happens, but there was something, and I think I messed it up. Whether it was the finishing order or the points, I can't remember exactly, but
It'll be
let's see
all
here. Well, that's something completely different. We don't want to get into that. We'll just close the chat. We don't have to worry about that. So, your day to day, what's that kind of look like? Or do you work right for Trowbridge Excavation or?
So I own Trowbridge Enterprises, my business, and I third-party subcontract to National Fuel, and I operate natural gas compressor stations as my day-to-day, and it's usually only a 10-hour day, depends on the day, and then I got nights that I'm on call 24 hours and stuff like that. And I work 14 days on, 7 days off most of the time, as long as things are going well.
So you work 2 weeks in a row and then you get a week off.
Yep.
So how do you find time to work on your race car if you're working 70 hours a week?
The middle of the night.
The middle of the night. So you don't sleep.
There's some weeks that sleep is pretty minimal, but it definitely, if we have two bad weekends at the racetrack and I got to work 2 weeks straight and we're fighting race cars and stuff all week long, it turns into two pretty long back-to-back weeks for sure.
Do you live on Monster Energy and Red Bulls or
Red Bulls, not
Red
Monster.
Bulls? I took a shot in the dark. I figured it had, one of them had to be right.
Yeah, you got one of them right.
Every once in a while, somebody will throw a weird energy drink that I've never heard of, but
Yeah, I
most
don't
of the
get
time
into
it's one
those
of
weird
them.
ones.
Yeah, it's not good for your kidneys though.
No, it's not. I got one of the older guys that I work with at work. I was drinking a Monster the one day, and probably been about 2 years ago. And he sat there and read the ingredients off to it and told me how terrible it was for me and I shouldn't be drinking them. And I have never drank a Monster since that day.
Really? Have you ever had somebody sit down and read you the ingredients to Red Bull?
No.
Because I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I don't know for sure, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's probably not that much better.
I don't believe so.
No, hey, I can't. I don't blame you. I've drank them. My girlfriend's drank them. Everybody's got to have one once in a while, right?
Oh yeah, you have to get a hankering for
Right. So do you work on your dad's car all week too, or just does he does his own thing and you do your own thing, and
So
unless
as
there's
long
something
as,
major?
yeah, as long as we're just like basic maintenance for the most part during the week, he does his, I do mine. And then because I work 2 out of 3 Sundays, Sundays are usually wash day, and he washes both of our cars, and then in return I get to be tire prep guy and do all the tires. So we trade that off, and if there's major maintenance that needs done or cars need scaled or something like that, we help each other out. But as long as it's just straightforward stuff, the divide and conquer usually seems to go fast helping each other.
Right. So which one's worse in your opinion, tire prep or car wash?
He's sitting your shot, so I'll say car wash, but tire prep's pretty rough sometimes.
All I know is I would have no interest in taking every body panel off of a Crate Sportsman and washing it all and putting it all back on, but
No, and
hey.
I can honestly say once in a while I wash the cars. I don't do near as good of a job as he does. He is meticulous about getting the cars washed, so that's a positive.
That's that older generation mindset.
That's right.
They're in it for everything. They're either
Yeah.
going to do it right or not do it at all.
That's right. I get going too fast and get ahead of myself a little bit. Miss things once in a while.
So what do you have any free time? I like to ask what people do in their free time, but do you have any free time during the race season or?
Not really during race season. Yeah, honestly, not really. Not much.
Do you do any?
Usually my week off consists of catching back up from business things and race car things and other stuff that have gotten pushed off for 2 weeks while I didn't have time. And it goes fast. You would think that 7 days off is nice. And 7 days off, I usually end up working harder those 7 days than I do my 14 days at work.
Yeah, I couldn't even. I mean, 14 days straight in a row of 10 hour days every day, 14 days in a row. Wow, yeah, that's quite a gig.
Some days it's really not bad. I can't, if everything's going good at the station, I can't sit here and tell you that I work too awful hard.
Right. So
And
what do you
then,
actually do at work then?
as long as things are going good, really just monitor So we got compressors, obviously, that compress the gas, and then dehys, which are dehydration units that pull the, basically, it uses glycol to pull the moisture out of the natural gas to dry the gas. And then from there, it gets sent out of the station to a distributor like Tennessee Gas or Dominion or somebody like that to then they cut it down and sell it residentially to whoever. But so if everything's going good, really it's just watching numbers, making sure everything's running the way it should be, and a little preventative maintenance here and there. But when it goes bad, it's usually really bad
Right.
because
Do
everything.
you have to get a lot of overtime then when things go bad?
When things go bad, yeah, I mean it a little bit. We share the load, so I have the station during the day, and then we have if somebody's on call every night, and you're usually on call for multiple stations during the night. So if you're really getting your butt kicked and it's been a couple days in a row that you're working long days, some days you can pass it off to the on-call guy. Sometimes you just eat it and take the overtime. It's really a toss-up, depends. Some guys like the overtime, some guys don't. Sometimes you can get extra overtime at a different station you're not even a part of.
Right.
But
Based on what you said, it just kind of sounds to me like you have a 10-hour day that's pretty nice, but then your 10-hour day could quickly turn into an 18-hour day.
yeah, it's usually so basically the best way to put it is we are paid to be there for when things go bad. You just hang out until they go bad. And when they go bad, that's what they really pay you for is to fix whatever's going bad as fast as you possibly can.
Right, sure. Hey, that sounds like a pretty neat gig, though. I don't know if I've ever heard of a job doing 14 days off and 14 days on and 7 off, other than like like truck drivers, traveling stuff, that kind of stuff. But
Yeah, I can't say I have it too bad. We do have a rotation of guys that work 3 weeks on, 1 week off. So I couldn't imagine that. I can tell you sometimes by the end of 2 weeks, I'm pretty burnt out. And
Oh,
then
I'm sure.
thinking about having another 7 days after that sometimes would be quite the stretch.
Do you ever get to the end of the 7 days off and you go, oh boy, I got 14 straight to do?
Yeah, sometimes. I just did my 2 weeks on, and then I covered somebody else for Monday through Friday, and then I had Saturday, Sunday off, and then my 2 weeks following that. So I worked 5 days of my seven off, and I got my butt kicked pretty good. The 1 week I had it was like 108 hours, my second week of the five in a row, and that was it was rough.
Yeah,
I
that's a
was
healthy
begging for
week.
the end of it.
I'm sure. You never thought about family and the follow or following the family business and excavation and construction?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I worked for dad all through school, and then I went to college to be a diesel mechanic, and I worked on heavy equipment, so I got my associate's degree in that, and then I moved down to, I guess I would say the Harrisburg area, and worked for a big heavy equipment company down there, and that only lasted about 6 months. I hated living down there. So I moved back up here, and that's when I got into the natural gas stuff. And it, as dad would put it, I guess I'm a little bit too high maintenance. He can't afford to pay me.
Did you just not like the I guess the city aspect of Harrisburg, or 'cause you're pretty well out in the middle of nowhere pretty much, so
Yeah, it's I mean, I went college in Williamsport, so that was shell shock enough for daily life. And then moving down there, what really started to get to me was I didn't go to a shop every day. I was I guess you could call it an on-road mechanic. I had a service truck and everything, and the big thing that they did was build warehouse pads. Well, when I got hired, newest warehouse pad that they were doing was out in Allentown. So I was driving from Harrisburg to Allentown and back every day. And it would be, you'd work a 14-hour day on Friday and then have to drive all the way back to Harrisburg. And I mean, it was nothing for a trip to take me 3 hours one direction on Friday or like a Monday morning or something. And that was the basically working 19, 20 hours a day and getting paid 14 for it just because the traffic was unrealistic. I was getting burnt out.
Sure. Yeah, I don't. Harrisburg's not that big of a city, but I think it'd be big enough for me to not want to live there.
It's too
I'm not
big.
much of a city boy.
It's too big for me.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of funny though that you're usually the high maintenance people like to go to the cities, don't they?
I suppose I don't know if I'm high maintenance per se, but I guess I'll just say it. Make good money for my business, and it's tough for a small excavation business to do that, to
Sure.
be
Well,
able to
you
pay me what I make.
know. Right. Well, you know, everybody likes more money, you know.
Oh, for
That's the name of
sure.
the game, right? And I will say you're young too. Everybody told me when I was young to work those 70, 80 hours a week because when you're like your dad's age, you're not going to want to do it. So
Yeah, when I complain about being tired, he tells me I'm young, and he did it when he was my age, so I shouldn't be complaining.
Right. Yeah, now they do well drilling too. I want to mention that too, right? Your
Yep.
dad's business. Yep.
Yep.
What do you do in the winter? I know you said you hunt. Do you do anything else other than hunting or just kind of working on race cars waiting for the spring?
I was gonna say it's the race car thing's still a full-time project for us around here, but yeah, we work on race cars and hunt and of course try to enjoy the holidays with the family and watch football. Love watching football. But that's really probably about it.
Yeah.
We don't do anything really crazy.
Right. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I got to work Thanksgiving. So
So
it was not
maybe
too
not
bad.
as good for you as everybody else.
The food was good when I got home.
Good. Good. Has your girlfriend ever mentioned anything into getting a race car? So for those of you that don't know, he is dating Isabel Barron's little sister, correct?
Yeah.
Right. So has she ever mentioned anything about getting a race car, or is that kind of
She's talked about it a little bit that maybe she would like it now more that she's older. And I keep telling her if she wants a race car, we'll figure out a way to buy her a race car, but she hasn't pulled the trigger on it yet. So
have you
we'll
ever
see.
thought
Maybe someday.
right have you ever thought about doing what Kyle did for me, just throw her out at the end of the races and see if see if she catches that bug.
Yeah, I would give her a shot. Might terrify me, but I'd give her a shot.
Just tell her to miss the big marshmallows, because boy, do they come a lot quicker than you would anticipate.
Yeah, they do. Miss the wall and the Uke tires. You go off the back stretch all you want. We'll figure that out, but
Right. Have you ever clicked the tire? I'm sure you have. I think everybody has.
oh yeah, they do some damage on a front axle when you hit them hard enough.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a really I guess bad wreck or no?
No, never been rolled over or nothing like that. Nothing.
I was
Nothing
trying to
bad, really. I've been pretty fortunate that way.
Absolutely. I was trying to think off the top of my head, and my memory kind of sucks, so
No, nothing terrible.
Right. Well, I think I've kept you for a while, and you were nervous, but you did a great job, I'll tell you that. Do you have anybody that you want to just say thank you to, whether your business or people that help you out, whatever?
Yeah, for sure. All my family members that help us in the pits, for sure. Scott Brown helps us work on our motors and stuff. Got to thank him. Trowbridge Construction and Excavation, Trowbridge Enterprises, Stick Built Welding, Trackside Products, Al and Paula and their dog Munch have been great to us. They go in there having no idea what we're looking for race car parts, and they always help us out. But we got a good group of people that help us a lot more than we probably deserve at times, but don't
Well,
know what we would do without them.
absolutely, and I think that's something that a lot of drivers feel is that sometimes they don't deserve it. But you know what? We all need a little help, and they are, boy, are they expensive. So,
Yeah, no doubt.
well, hey, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you making time for me. Glad we could work out a time. I know it was kind of up in the air exactly what we were going to do, and I had to delay us a little bit. But I appreciate
That's
you
okay.
sticking with me and joining me tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, have a good night and have a great Christmas.
You too, sir. Thank you.
So once again, I do want to remind everybody that interviews are brought to you by D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Trusburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up and they will come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. And I want to thank everybody for listening, for joining me here this week. I know with the holidays, it's kind of a tough schedule I got going on here. I couldn't make Thanksgiving week work, and so I wanted to make sure that I got somebody in here and a great conversation with Jacob. I appreciate him working with me here. He told me he was ready to go, and I still had to feed my daughter dinner, so it was my fault, and we had to kind of work around a couple of schedules to make it work, but we did, and I appreciate him for just working with me and joining me here. I just want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to this. Facebook at Woodhall Raceway and Woodhall Raceway 64 on TikTok. And once again, just have a hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a great Christmas. And once again, just please keep in the thoughts the Harringtons, the Bacons, the Peoples, and the Guilds, because and I know a lot of people agree with this that kind of a tough time to lose loved ones right around the holiday season. So our thoughts and prayers continually be with them, and hopefully we can be back here next week, get somebody else in here. So until then, everybody have a good week.